Chapter number 6, Daniel chapter number 6 in the Bible. Thank you, ladies. That was such a blessing. Amen. Praise God. I know in whom I have believed. Praise the Lord. I got to tell you, I was deeply offended by that missionary on Wednesday night that picked on me for being from the north. What he did not know was that 2 weeks ago, I had my very first complete, almost mater sandwich. Amen. I was at a church in rural hall, and they had mater sandwiches afterwards on Tuesday night. Man, had mayonnaise on there. Duke's mayonnaise. Amen. Salt and pepper. And I got through about 3/4 of it 10 years ago when I tried one. I took one bite, and that was it. All right, but I'm growing. All right. So, just not completely saved yet, but I'm getting there, all right? Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 6. Before we start reading, I just would like to publicly express how thankful I am for our pastor. We miss him when he's not here. We're praying for him physically, but pastor called us all in for a staff meeting about three and a half, four weeks ago, and he gave us just some things that God has been putting on his heart. He gave us the theme for 2024. Don't ask us what it is, because we're not telling, okay? But just shared his heart, his passion, his vision, dreams, and goals for our church. And I walked away from that meeting thinking there's a lot of pastors in our country who would see the building to our right go up, kind of put their hands behind their head, sit back in their chair, and say, man, I've made it. I'm good. Let's just coast till retirement. But I'm thankful for a pastor that has a heart for our church to press forward for Christ, to go in for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think we've seen good days here in the last few years, you better hold on to your seatbelt. It's about to get gooder and gooder and gooder. I don't think that's proper English, but it's right. All right? And so praise God for that. And I want to praise God that the good old days are right now. Amen? God's not just a God of the past. He's a God of the right now. I thank God for what He's done. But I believe God wants to do a whole lot more. And I want to thank God for our pastor and appreciate that so much. I thank God for you, and I thank God for what He's doing. We're going to see 5 people baptized tonight, all saved here recently. One lady at a Starting Point class and moved down here from New Jersey, found her Christian school in the church, got saved in a Starting Point class. Another teenager getting saved in the Christian school chapel. Man, God's at work. Amen. And so we need to rejoice and say, oh, don't you see what's going on in the world? I really do not care. I thank God for what He's doing right here and in my family. To God be the glory. Daniel chapter 6. I've given you plenty of time to found. If you found it, say amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were in verses 1 through 4, and we're going to go from verse 4 through 11. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, unto him, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore the king Darius signed the king. Excuse me. Wherefore the king Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10. And 11 will be where we spend most of our time tonight. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I've simply entitled this message tonight, Lion's Den Ready. Lion's Den Ready. I'd like to ask if you would pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it is sure and steadfast. Thank you that it's unchanging. I pray that the Bible would grip our hearts tonight, challenge us through the Word. Thank you for Brother Cook. Thank you for his precious wife and how you're using this dear couple to reach souls for Christ in different places of our country. Thank you for them. Now bless our time in the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Daniel was 16 to 18 years old, he was taken into Babylonian captivity from his home to Babylon for the simple purpose and the express purpose of serving the Babylonian government. He was taken away to Babylon from all that he knew, all that he was familiar with, to an uncertain place. And as a teenager, he goes from his home to a pagan and wicked culture in a place called Babylon. But when we get to chapter 6, where we are tonight, Daniel is no longer just a teenager exiled to Babylon. He is an 80-year-old man in his 80s. He's an older man now. And he's come into high regard here in Babylon. He's well thought of. In chapter 1, he refused the king's meat and the king's wine. He refused it. And now in chapter 6, he is the president of presidents. He's the high ruler in Babylon. And by the way, church family, you don't need me to tell you this, but there's only one person that can write this story, and that is God. Only God can take one exiled to Babylon and make them a president. Only God can do that. What a story. But jealousy can be a very powerful thing. The princes and the lower presidents, they become envious of the exiled Daniel and his rise in power. And a month ago, we looked at the first four verses, and these presidents and princes, they sought to find a skeleton in Daniel's closet, but they couldn't find any. All they could find was that he had an excellent spirit, that he was faithful, and that he had integrity. They couldn't find anything, except for one thing. Look at verse 5 one more time. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find against him concerning the law of his God. So what do these Babylonian leaders do? They say, let's get at Daniel and let's get the king to sign a decree that says if you pray to anyone, to any god, to any man except for King Darius, you'll be cast into the lion's den. For 30 days you cannot pray to anybody, any god, any man except for the king. So they bring this signed decree to the king. And the king looked at this, and I love to see this picture, wouldn't you? He says, oh man, that looks pretty good. No one can pray to anybody except for me. He says, I like the sound of that. And if they pray to anyone except for me, they're going to be cast into the den of lions. There is one name that was left off of this. I don't know why. It could have been just a lapse of judgment by the king, but one name was left off the sign by the highest of the high besides the king, and that was Daniel. He was left off. He didn't sign it. Why? Because it would go against the law of his God. They couldn't find anything. Since if there's one thing that we could find a charge against Daniel, it would be something that he has done against us and not his God. We have to get him to disobey us because he will not disobey his God. When I was a teenager, I can't remember if it was on vacation or if it was just over at our house. How many of you ladies have a sister? If you're a lady, you have a sister, raise your hand, all right? And there is nothing quite like seeing two sisters get together. And my mom and my aunt, Aunt Sue, they were watching an episode of I Love Lucy. How many of you know I Love Lucy? Come on now, all right? And I heard them, I mean, they were dying laughing in the living room. I went in there and they were watching this episode on the screen of I Love Lucy. And if I remember correctly, Lucy and Ethel are friends, and they get into this chocolate factory, and this lady that's in the middle there, they said, the chocolate candies are going to come down the center conveyor belt here, and you have these wrappers, put the chocolate candy into the wrappers and place them back on, and if you miss one, you are fired. So Lucy and Ethel look at each other and say, we can do this, we're ready. So the manager walks out, and she says, let them roll. And they come, start rolling on the conveyor belt there, and it starts out just fine for a few minutes. They get one, they wrap it, put it back. This is great. Take one, wrap it, put it back. It looks great. All of a sudden, the conveyor belt gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And man, they start throwing these chocolate candies into their hats. They start eating them, putting their mouths as fast as they can. The manager comes walking out and says, there's nothing to, man, he did a good job. Are you ready for some more? Are you ready for some more? And they got their mouth full of chocolate candies and their hat is filled with chocolate candies. She says, let them roll, and more candy comes flying out. How many of you have seen this episode before? Look it up on YouTube if you haven't. It is really funny. And I'm in no way trying to compare a lion's den to chocolate candies tonight. No way trying to do that. But to simply illustrate, there are some Christians tonight who feel like they're ready for the conveyor belt of this thing called life. They feel like, I've got this. I'm ready. But when the tough times come and the difficult times come, when the lion's den comes, they really are not ready. You may have a difference of opinion tonight, but I personally believe that Daniel knew full well what was getting ready to happen to him. I believe that Daniel knew. In verse 10, the Bible says that Daniel, when he heard these things signed, when he saw what these guys signed, the decree that was made, he went into his chamber, and what does Daniel do? He prays. He knew that his prayer would have consequences. He was lion's den ready. He knew that he would be thrown into the den of lions, potentially ending his life. And so rather than protest, rather than make a big scene about it, what does Daniel do? He gets into his chamber and he talks with the one that can do something about it. Daniel, tonight, he was lion's den ready. And Calvary Baptist Church family and guests tonight, we too, when the lion's den comes, we must be ready. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a Bible? And we're going to learn tonight from these few verses in chapter 6. And Daniel's going to give us and teach tonight how we too can be lion's den ready. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, number one, I want you to see Daniel's direction. Number one, Daniel's direction. I want you to look with me one more time at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I have these two words, toward Jerusalem, underlined. Toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. What is significant about towards Jerusalem? Just being honest with you and admit to you, when I read this, I think to myself, why does the Bible say that he prayed toward Jerusalem? I mean, if I went and prayed toward King, would that have any type of significance? What does Daniel do here? Why did he open his windows toward Jerusalem? Why in that direction? Was it because Jerusalem was his home? You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, I want you to hear what the Bible says here. Solomon is praying and dedicating the temple. But listen to what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 38 and 39. I'd encourage you to look it up later. If they return, Solomon says, to thee with all their heart and with all their soul to the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captives, listen, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from the dwelling places, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Daniel, listen, he could not see Jerusalem from where he was at. His home in Jerusalem was over 550 miles away. He couldn't see the temple. He couldn't see Jerusalem. So why is he praying toward Jerusalem? Because he knew that hundreds of years later, earlier in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, God had commanded Israel to pray towards Jerusalem from the land of their captivity. And Daniel did exactly what God had commanded him to do. This was Daniel's direction. You see, church family, Daniel was not praying towards home. He was praying towards heaven. He was not praying towards home, he was praying towards heaven. Daniel's eyes were not necessarily fixed towards Jerusalem. His eyes were fixed towards God, because this is what God had commanded him to do. This was Daniel's direction. It was complete obedience to God. Do you want to be lion's den ready? I'd like to ask, how was your direction? Remember, church, Daniel had been exiled to Babylon. He was 16 to 18 years old when he was taken into captivity. But now at the age of 80, this chief of presidents of Babylon, at 80 years old, as high as you could possibly go without being the king, he is still getting down on his knees before God, and he has taught us that you will never arrive when it comes to God. We still need God. No matter how high we possibly think we could go, we need God. Charles Spurgeon said, "The habit of prayer is good, but the spirit of prayer is better." The spirit of prayer is humility, conscious dependence upon God. What was Daniel's direction? Why did he open his windows towards Jerusalem? Daniel was declaring and testifying to an almighty God that there was still a man in pagan Babylon who still believed in the promises of God. He believed that there is a God in heaven who still watches over his people. And Daniel said, "Lord, I believe that you can deliver me out of this lion's den." You see, him praying towards Jerusalem was not a physical thing or a ritualistic thing. This was a spiritual matter for Daniel. He's saying, "Lord, I obey you. Lord, I follow you." And church family, we must tonight too keep our windows open. How many of you are a mom or dad? Raise your hand high in the air. How many of you have ever told your kids, "Son, daughter, I want you to look at me"? You ever said that before? Why are you saying that? You're trying to get their eyes off of whatever their focus is on, onto what? Onto your eyes, because you got something very important that you're trying to tell to them. Because you want their eyes to go from that direction to you. And do you want to be lion's den ready tonight? You better have your eyes and direction towards God. Number one tonight, Daniel's direction. But number two, I want you to see Daniel's devotion. Number two, Daniel's devotion. Look at me the second half of verse 10. He opens his windows toward Jerusalem, but look at what happens next. He kneeled upon his knees. What's the next word, church? Yell it out. Three times a day. And prayed and gave thanks before his God. Look at the next four words. I have it underlined in my Bible. As he did aforetime. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that I am in no way embellishing whatsoever. And it's a little longer than what I typically would as an illustration, but I want to promise you I am going somewhere with this. Okay? You got it? Okay? So, a year ago, during VBS, our son Silas won the Nintendo Switch here at our Vacation Bible School here at Calvary. Isn't that a nice picture of him and Pastor and himself up there? So, he wins this Nintendo Switch, and it's a little gaming console thing. It's a lot of fun. How many of you boys and girls, teenagers, have a Nintendo Switch? Yeah, look at all those hands. That's great. So, a few months ago, our daughter Elise is playing volleyball on a Saturday at the Y. We're watching her play a game, and Silas brings his Nintendo Switch to the Y. Well, we get home, and we realize that the Nintendo Switch is no longer in our possession. We can't find it. So we go back to the YMCA, and it's no longer where we were at. It's gone. And so we ask the front clerk, "Has anyone turned this Nintendo Switch?" "No, I haven't seen it." I ask them to look at all the different security cameras where we knew we were, the different places. I get to the Y about 5:15 each day, and so every morning for a week, I ask the lady at the front, "Has anyone turned this Nintendo Switch in?" "No, we looked on the cameras. We saw somebody, but we didn't see a Nintendo Switch." So we kind of thought, "Man, this thing is gone." A week later, on a Sunday night, Tiffany is on Facebook Marketplace. So what in the world is Facebook Marketplace? It's pretty much like an online yard sale, to put it in simple terms, okay? How many of you like an online yard sale, okay? So she's on Facebook Marketplace, and she sees someone selling a Nintendo Switch with a Dollar General charger in it, and it has one game inside of it, and it's Crash Bandicoot. And that just happened to be the game that Silas was playing that day. So we can't prove it. It has a couple of signals, a couple of signs. So Tiffany had kept that Nintendo Switch box in Silas's closet. So she messages the guy selling it, trying to outsmart him. She did marry me, so she's very smart, okay? Amen? But she tries to outsmart this guy, and she says, "Can you send me the serial number on the back of the Nintendo Switch so I can check the specs on this thing? Check out to see if it has any detection of anything or whatever." So this guy the next day sends her a picture of the serial number on the back of the Nintendo Switch. And so we get the box out, and she's looking at the picture that was just sent. Well, we didn't tell him, we thought it was ours, but so she reads a number, and I'm looking, yeah. There's about 15 numbers, yeah, yeah. And all the way to the last number, and it was an exact match. The Facebook Marketplace Nintendo Switch was the Switch that belonged to Silas. It was stolen or taken. So I called Jim Siegel, police officer. He said, hey, Jim, what should I do? He said, tell the guy you're going to buy it, and then tell him to meet you at Sheets and King, and the police will come on up and get him, all right? So I said, man, this is great, all right? So we say, yeah, we'll buy it. But he says, my tags are out in my car, and I can't meet you anywhere except for Ronaldo Road in Winston. So I called Nick Karpenko next. I said, Nick, I need your help, man. And so, man, Nick was fired up. So he goes in my car with me, or he gets in his police car. I follow him over to Ronaldo Road. He goes undercover. We get a meeting time with this guy. I get out of my car with that Nintendo Switch box. Nick gets out of his car. We walk up, and this guy doesn't know a clue what's getting ready to happen. And Nick says, sir, this Nintendo Switch that you bought matches the box of this that this guy has, and you have a stolen Nintendo Switch. The guy's mouth dropped to the floor. All this kind of stuff. And so I said, sir, I don't want to press charges. This is what I said. I just want my son's Nintendo Switch back. Now, the funny thing was the guy had a Philadelphia Eagles hat on. I couldn't even say go birds or nothing. Because I was so irritated at the guy. I wanted to so bad, but I couldn't. Now, here's the illustration I'm going to get at you. Why in the world would we go to all that trouble for a Nintendo Switch? Why? That's because we love our son. I could care less about a Nintendo Switch. I don't want to play the thing. My son likes it. Here's the problem with our Christianity today. There's many Christians in our culture who will say on Sunday morning, I love God, but their lives don't show it Monday through Saturday. They'll say, God, I love you, but their devotion is to a completely different thing. You see, that Nintendo Switch meant nothing to us, but it meant something to Silas. And because we love Silas, because we would do anything pretty much for our son, that's why we pursued that. And I want to ask you tonight, are you devoted to God? There's many Christians who are devoted to many things. But devoted to God? Devotion simply means this: zealous, loyal, or passionate for. And church family, if you want to be lion's den ready, you must be devoted to God. Here's the reality. When the lion's den moment comes, who you really are, listen, who you really are will show. Amen. I want you to look at verse 5 one more time. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. As we said before, Daniel knew that his devotion would cost him his life. But these guys who were trying to get Daniel thrown in the lion's den, they couldn't find anything that he was devoted to except for God. They couldn't find anything. But he was devoted, passionate towards God. Daniel does what he has always done. He goes to God. As he did aforetime. He hears the decree. He hears that the writing has been signed. He hears that if you pray to anyone, you'll get thrown in the lion's den. And what does Daniel do? He does what he has always done. As he did aforetime. Look at verse 10 one more time. He goes to his chamber, prays toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. It was already the practice to pray to God at least 3 times a day. And when the lion's den came, he continued that practice and he did not stop. The Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Daniel carefully followed this pattern from Scripture for his life. Daniel was completely devoted to God. Was Daniel lion's den ready? I'd say yes, he was. He was ready because of his devotion to God. And Daniel, no doubt, Daniel knew, listen church, he knew that he was the directed arrow because of this law, so to speak. He knew that he would be found. He knew that he was the target. But nevertheless, he prayed. Daniel was devoted to God regardless of what it cost him. Regardless. Look what the Bible says in verse 10, at the end of verse 10. And gave thanks before God. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Christian, if we're not careful, our prayers can become so selfish. We come to God with this 15-minute list of prayer requests and not one time give thanks to God. Church family, can I ask you, when was the last time you got on your knees not to ask God for a thing, but simply to say, Lord, I want to praise you, I want to give you thanks for all you've done? Daniel's prayer, even though he was about to get cast into the lions, his prayer was filled with what? With thanksgiving. Daniel, as he prepared for the lion's den, he gave thanks. He praises his way through. How in the world can he give thanks entering a lion's den? Because he wasn't devoted to the world, church. He was devoted to God. By the way, are you getting the idea here that Daniel was a man of the Bible? He was a man of prayer. In just one verse, in verse 10, we find him following three separate Old Testament passages in 2 Chronicles 6 and Psalm 55 and Psalm 100. Daniel was a man of the Bible. But look at the last phrase in verse 10, the last four words, as he did aforetime. You see, devotion to God through prayer wasn't something that Daniel suddenly decided to start when he got into a tough spot. This wasn't like, oh, I'm getting ready to be thrown the lions. God, I really need you to come through for me. And there's so many Christians that are using God almost as a good luck charm. They're saying, God, I'm in this tough financial crisis. I'm in this tough physical crisis. I'm in this tough spiritual crisis. And I've been praying to you for months, but all of a sudden, God, I need you. Almost like he's some good luck charm. And Daniel, when he was going to get ready to throw into the lion's den, the Bible says, as he did aforetime. This wasn't something brand new. This is something that Daniel did every single day, three times a day. And if you want to be ready for the lion's den, Calvary Baptist Church family, you can't expect to live for the world 6 days of the week and then get ready to get thrown in the lion's den and God come through all of a sudden for you. May God help us to be devoted completely to Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher say one time, everybody wants the product of prayer, but nobody wants the process. Everybody wants the product of what God can give, but no one wants the process of prayer. We just want the blessing. We don't want the blesser. Listen, if we are just in it for the blessing, we're in it for the wrong thing. Is God sufficient and is God enough for you today? Is he? This was Daniel's life. Daniel's life was all about God. And church family, you will be able to walk through the lion's den properly tomorrow when you've walked with God properly the other 6 days of the week. You will be able to walk through the lion's den properly when your devotion to God is your life and not just something you are when you get into a tough spot. We will only be lion's den ready when we are devoted to Christ. Number one, we see all Daniel's direction. Number two, Daniel's devotion. But number three tonight, I want you to see Daniel's decision. Number three, Daniel's decision. I want you to look with me at verse 11. The last verse of our text, verse 11. Then these men assembled. Can you see it? Stop just reading just a moment. Can you see it? These guys, they're waiting on pins and needles. Can't wait to find Daniel praying. Because once we find Daniel praying, he's therefore going against the decree. And therefore, we can throw him into the lion's den and we'll never see the guy again. And we are now at the top of power. But look at verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel, what? Praying. And making supplication before his God. Well, it happened. Presidents and princes immediately took note of Daniel's violation of the law, and they reported it to the king. Daniel, no doubt, knew he was the target. And he knew he would be found out. He knew it. But what did he do nevertheless? He prayed. What was Daniel's decision? He chose to obey God rather than obey man. He obeyed God regardless of the cost. And we saw it in Daniel's day and we're seeing it right now. In 2015, Kim Davis, a Rowan County clerk in Kentucky, was thrown into jail for 6 days. And what was her crime? She defied a U.S. federal court order that would cause her to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples. And in just 8 days, 8 days from right now, on September 11th, 2023, she will stand trial before a jury because she took a stand for righteousness. You pray for her, would you? Yes, yes, there can be and there will be conflict between human law and divine law, but God's law wins every single time. And God's law, it takes precedence every single time. Daniel chose to obey God rather than obey man. Daniel was about to pay the consequences for his righteousness. And there will be times, church family, that you will have to pay the price for doing right. And are you tonight making the decision like Daniel to be lion's den ready? You must choose to obey God rather than man, no matter what the cost. I'm looking at some teenager tonight, and you have a goal to be cool, to fit in with the crowd, and to be liked by everybody. But your friends want to do everything that the Bible says. They want to do everything against what the Bible says. And you must choose to be like Daniel. Are you going to obey God, or are you going to obey man? Do you want to be cool, or do you want to be Christ-like? And the choice, teenager, it's you. It's up to you. Choose God every single time. Because when you choose God, you will win every single time. And the results are a whole lot better than the other choice. I'm speaking to some single adult in this room. And all you want to do is get married. You have a boyfriend and you have a girlfriend. They look good. They might have a nice job. They might speak well to you. They might say they love you. But they have zero love for Jesus Christ. They come to church because you forced them to come to church. They read their Bible because you forced them to read their Bible. They pray because you forced them to pray. And I'm telling you, if they say they love you, but they don't love God, they do not love you. You can choose to marry the wrong one, or you can choose to follow God. The choice is yours. I'm speaking to some middle-aged adult. I'm speaking to some young at heart tonight who's in a compromising position at a workplace. Something that's going to cost your integrity if you're not careful. And you have a choice to live for God and choose to love God, or you can choose to cave to the culture and follow the culture. And I'm telling you, church family, Daniel, when he was given the option, you can either pray to God and get cast in the lion's den, or you cannot pray to God and live. Daniel chose God's way, and he said, God, I'm going to trust you with the results. I'm going to trust you with the results. And church family, can I tell you tonight, the reward for following God is a whole lot better than the other option. It's a whole lot better. In closing tonight, have you ever thought about how vital it is to prepare for certain situations? This week, I reached out to a few men in our church that have been in the military or are serving as a first responder. Police, EMS, fire department. And I asked these men to give me a list of some specific training and preparation they had to go through as a Marine or a police officer or a fire department worker just to be able to handle the coming danger that they would face. What did they have to do to prepare for what they're doing now? I can't list for you all of their answers. I wish that I could, but here's a few of their answers for their preparation. One man said he had 450 hours of training to be a firefighter and 280 hours to be a certified EMT worker. One man mentioned that you must learn to trust your partner. One man said that you had to prepare on not knowing when your next meal might be. One man said you must learn to pack for the unknown. One man had to fight and train in water. One Marine had shooting and weapon transition training for 14 hours a day for several weeks in the July heat. And one said, we had to keep running and keep running until they told us to stop, and we never knew when that would be. Ken Karpenko, sitting back here, he gave me this thought-provoking statement. He said, the whole purpose of the training was to prepare you for the moment that you are stranded or stuck behind enemy lines. The whole purpose of the training was to prepare you for the moment that you were stranded or stuck behind enemy lines. And here's the truth that these military and first responder men and women are saying. Without proper preparation and without proper readiness, you could lose the battle or you could lose your life. Jim Siegel gave me this quote. When your life depends on having a skill, it is too late to learn it. When your life depends on having a skill, it is too late to learn it. And church family, to survive the lion's den, you must be ready and prepared before you face it. And not everyone that goes through the lion's den survives. They're broken, they're defeated, they're fearful, but when you, like Daniel, you prepare properly and you ready yourself for the lions, you'll realize that Jesus Christ, He is more than enough. You don't have to face it in fear. You can face it with Jesus. And if Daniel wasn't the man we read about in Daniel 1 through 6, you don't see him in a few verses walking out of the lion's den unscathed. I'm convinced he wouldn't have made it through the lion's den at all. Daniel knew that his prayer had consequences. He knew that he would be thrown into the den of lions, potentially ending his life. But Daniel, he was lion's den ready. And you can be too. Daniel's direction, obedience to God. Daniel's devotion, passionate love for God. And Daniel's decision, stand for God no matter what the cost. Church family and guests, your lion's den is coming. You might be in one right now. I want to tell you, we need Christians who are lion's den ready. Would you pray with me?